Okay, so let's start off with an opening prayer. Holy Spirit, today this prayer reflects what we will be sharing about. I asked in this prayer for what I really want, which is for you to talk to me and through me, to guide me strongly as I open the door, as I open my mind and trust and surrender to your voice. Amen. This is the manual for teachers. We do this Wednesdays and Fridays, and I read a section and then I talk about that section, then Tom shares on that section. And if you feel guided that there's something about what we're saying or reading that you feel that you want to share on, please raise your hand. We love participation. So right now we're on page 53 in the Foundation Version, section 21. What is the role of words in healing? Strictly speaking, words play no part at all in healing. The motivating factor is prayer or asking. What you ask for, you receive. But this refers to the prayer of the heart, not to the words you use in praying. Sometimes the words and the prayer are contradictory. Sometimes they agree. It does not matter. God does not understand words, for they were made up by separated minds to keep them in the illusion of separation. Words can be helpful, particularly for the beginner, in helping concentration and facilitating the exclusion, or at least the control, of extraneous thoughts. Let us not forget, however, that words are but symbols of symbols. They are thus twice removed from reality. Now, this is really important. When I first started using official prayers, I felt an incredible release and peace associated with those prayers. A really good prayer that I used a lot was the Serenity Prayer. You know, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. It's a funny thing what happens when a prayer is used too long and it no longer has the effect that one is seeking, because the prayer in and of itself becomes rote, automatic. So I was saying the prayer and the Holy Spirit stopped me right in the middle of the prayer and said, stop. And I couldn't understand why. And it was because when I prayed like that, I was in my head, not my heart. When I prayed like that, I was in my head and not my heart. And the Holy Spirit didn't want me to just go through the motions. It wasn't like, okay, so these are the things I got to do just to be able to get whatever it is I think I want done. Me being in charge, there wasn't any real surrender. There wasn't any real focus on what I really wanted. So this is really important, because it's helpful that we have a prayer that we can use so that we can start practicing to focus our minds on what we really want, in lining with our true deep desire, but that those prayers are not magical. Those prayers are not meant to become a ritual, because the ritual actually takes the power out of the prayer. When it becomes something you just do, you know the words by heart, you say them so fast that you're not even present, it's not really coming from what you really want. It loses its power. It loses its power. And so it is important that we speak from the heart. And the prayer itself can teach you how to do that, but ultimately, we have to keep in mind that the words are but symbols of symbols, that they do not have any power of themselves. And that's really key. Magic in the world says that something in form has the power. Miracle says it's only the love behind it that has the power. It's only the meaning. It's only the content, not form. So this is really, really, really important. If you've been stuck in praying and you don't know, or you feel guilty because you're not using certain types of prayers, or you don't know what to say, You don't need to say anything. You can actually just close your eyes and focus on the Holy Spirit, focus on God, and allow your focus to be your prayer, because that is the point. But it's not saying don't say anything. Say something, don't say anything, but be true to yourself. Be true to yourself. Because the point of all of this is to find your truth, to align with your truth, to come from your truth. That is the real purpose of prayer. And that is the real purpose of words, to communicate. So the other thing I'll say about this is that people use mantras, and mantras are also very helpful. It helps the mind to focus on the intention. If it really helps you, then use them. But if they don't play the game of denial with yourself, telling yourself, well, I should be doing this because this is what the quote-unquote spiritual thing to do is. If you are not experiencing anything and you are just going through the motions, detached and disconnected from what you're saying, then it's not helpful. Affirmations can also be something that's either a denial technique or also a way to find out what you really feel. If they conflict, if the words you say do not agree with what you really think in your mind, what's really coming up from your heart, then an affirmation can actually be good for you to let you know, you know what, I don't believe this, or something is conflicted in my mind about this. So I'll say this affirmation and then I'll ask myself, well, what do I really believe? What's really going on with me? And allow that to bring up whatever it is that needs to heal with the Holy Spirit. So it really doesn't matter. We're starting off looking at this, that the role of the words in healing is really not as important as what is coming up and what is it that you're really trying to say. As symbols, words have quite specific references. Even when they seem most abstract, the picture that comes to mind is apt to be very concrete. Unless a specific referent does occur to the mind in conjunction with the word has little or no practical meaning, and thus cannot help the healing process. The prayer of the heart does not really ask for concrete things. It always requests some kind of experience. The specific things asked for being the bringers of the desired experience in the opinion of the asker. The words then are symbols for the things asked for, but the things themselves stand for experiences that are hoped for. Now, some people have asked, well, what does that really mean, that words are but symbols of symbols, twice removed from reality? Form about form. You can just translate it like that. Instead of it being content, it's form for form. This is a desk. I'm looking at my desk right now. Now, what I'm doing is I am trying to convey the picture in my mind of what I'm seeing to someone else who also would have that same kind of idea, general idea, that if I tell you that I'm talking about a desk, I'm using a word, which is a symbol, for a desk, which is a symbol. That's it. It's just an image. That's nothing. So it's really important that we realize that when we are looking to communicate, we are also dealing with words, and since they are twice removed from reality, there is a huge level of error when it comes to someone understanding what we mean. And we could be speaking the quote-unquote same language, and this could happen. This happens with the word God, probably more than any other word, maybe love being its close second. And I say the word God, and Christian says the word God, and Ron says the word God, and Tom says the word God, we could be talking about something slightly different from each other. Now, the fact that we're all studying Course in Miracles here is helpful. We're probably going to have pretty close definition of what that word means. But even that cannot be taken for granted. It cannot be taken for granted. This is why the revelation, the revelatory experience, cannot be expressed. Because to put it into words starts to limit it. really it's something that one has to experience for themselves to really understand. So when we are talking to people, we're starting to realize that if communication is key, communication between ourselves and our father, communication between ourselves and our brother, then what we really need is to have a very clear message that can be received. And so if we feel guided that our brother will not understand if we use certain words, and we feel guided to use other words with our brother, then it behooves us to use those other words with our brother. I have people in my life that I've been guided not to say the words Holy Spirit to. It's not because there's anything wrong with the words Holy Spirit, but because when my brother hears the words Holy Spirit, they don't hear the message. Their mind shuts down because of their story about the words Holy Spirit. Same thing with the word Jesus. I know plenty of people that cannot hear the message if I use the word Jesus. But that's not for me to decide. That's for whether or not I get guided. Because the whole purpose is communication. So it is important, unless a specific referent does occur in the mind in conjunction with the word. I mean, you can kind of think of it as, let's say we spoke completely different languages. You spoke French and I speak English. Now, what happens? In 12-step recovery, there are meetings all over the world. And when people travel, it's recommended that they attend a meeting, even if the language isn't one that they understand. And people come back and they will report their experience in the meeting that even though they didn't understand a word anybody said, they recognized the language of the heart. They knew what was happening in the meeting. They can tell when someone was upset or when someone was in joy. They can tell what was going on without even understanding a word anybody said. Without even understanding a word anybody said, you know? So our reliance on words can be a little bit too much when it comes to our prayers with God and our communication with our brother. And it's not to say throw the words out. It's how you use the words and why you use the words and where you get the words from that's key. So again, of everything, we have to ask, what is it for? And this other thing that it says in here, where it says that we think we're asking for things when we pray, but we're really always requesting some kind of experience. It says always requesting some kind of experience. And even when we're asking for things, we're asking for things that we think will bring that type of experience, that desired experience. That's why when we say that everything is either love or a call for love, that's what's happening. Everything is either love or a call for love. Everybody just wants love. Period. Everybody really just wants peace. Everybody really just wants love. And if they're going about it in the wrong way, meaning it's not going to bring them their real, true, desired experience, they're still doing it for that same reason. For that same reason. If I believe that getting that new car is going to bring me joy and happiness and peace and sense of security, then I will go and try to get that car for that reason. But what I'm really praying for is not really the car. I'm praying for the experience I will have with the car. And when we take the symbols out and we realize that what we really are praying for the entire time is what we really want, it gets very simple, and it helps us to start the process back of undoing how we were seeking salvation in the world and how we were deciding for ourselves. So it goes on to say, the prayer for things of this world will bring experiences of this world. If the prayer of the heart asks for this, this will be given because this will be received. It is impossible that the prayer of the heart remain unanswered in the perception of the one who asks. I'm going to read that again. It is impossible that the prayer of the heart remain unanswered in the perception of the one who asks. If he asks for the impossible, if he wants what does not exist or seeks illusions in his heart, all this becomes his own. The power of his decision offers it to him as he requests. Herein lie hell and heaven. The sleeping Son of God has but this power left to him. It is enough. His words do not matter. Only the word of God has any meaning, because it symbolizes that which has no human symbols at all. The Holy Spirit alone understands what this word stands for, and this too is enough. The key in here is that we can make ourselves believe that we are powerless. And whatever it is that we focus on, we will experience. If we want to believe that we're a body, we will experience that. If we want to believe that we're a victim of the world, we will experience that. If we want to believe that we're powerless, we will experience that. That's how powerful we are. And prayer is not necessarily something you just sit down on your knees and you ask for. Prayer is every moment of every day. You're always teaching, the Course in Miracles tells you. You're always praying. You are always asking for what you want. And when you think, because you are so powerful, and you look around and you say, if I am so powerful, then why is it that I have these problems? Why is it that I'm not manifesting what I want? But you are. You are manifesting what you want. So instead of changing the world, we seek to change our mind about the world. We have to ask ourselves, what do we want? What are we asking for? This power, no matter how asleep we are in the dream, is still ours. We take our power back by waking up to the fact and having responsibility for sight. And that's how we end up having real awareness of power in our prayers.